For the rest of the time tonight, a very abbreviated sermon, but would you get your Bibles out? The first verse we'll look at will be the one that's on the screen. That's Amos chapter 5. Amos chapter 5 says, I despise your feast days. Isn't that remarkable? Heaven's view of our sacrifices may be different from our view of our sacrifices. And it's verses like this that just jump out at you. An older preacher, Franklin Camp, told me years ago, when you read a verse in the Bible and it doesn't seem to make sense, you'd better stop and look at it because there's some great truth there and there's preaching material. How on earth could the God of heaven says, I despise your feast days? And you begin looking at it, and I do not savor your solemn assemblies. Where do these things come from? The solemn assemblies and the feast days and everything that was involved there, it came from God. And yet the Lord says, I hate it, I despise it. Now you keep reading that, and he mentions the matter of burnt offerings and grain offerings and the peace offerings and the singing, the noise of songs and the instruments. God put all of those in, Jewish worship. And yet the God of heaven says, you're getting together and you're doing all of these things and it makes me sick. Why? Well, look at the last part, look at the last verse in this section. Whenever he says, here's what I hate, but let justice run down like water and righteousness like a mighty stream. What's missing in the first three verses of the passage from Amos chapter 5? Well, it's all mentioned in the latter part of, in verse 24. I hate, I despise, because in the midst of all of that is something that is missing, justice and righteousness. Now, if you'll think about this in the Jewish nation in the days of Amos and bring it to the New Testament where this is the very kind of things that Jesus confronted, those individuals were giving somewhat allegiance to the sacrifices, and yet their worship was so far removed from God that the God of heaven, who verbally said in the Old Testament, I despise your feast days, Matthew chapter 15, he says, you draw near to me with your lips, listen to this, but your heart is far from me. Nate, I don't know if you can pull up slide number 11. And that is when David, the man after God's own heart in Psalms chapter 69 said, I will praise the name of the Lord with songs and I will magnify him with thanksgiving. This also shall please the Lord, listen to this, better than an ox or a bull which has horns and hoofs. Rather ironic, isn't it? Here is David, a man after God's own heart, and he's understanding something that the Jews did not understand and something that we need to be careful, even though we don't have animal sacrifices, that's something that you and I need to understand, and that is our sacrifices of worship and praise to God may not ascend into heaven as a sweet-smelling savor, but they may be repugnant in the very midst of deity. And that's what David says. He says, here are hoofs and here are the horns of these animals. And God's not really interested, listen to this, and listen to how carefully I say it, just in the flesh of animals and the hide of animals and the body of animals and the hoofs and the horns being burned as a sacrifice. Have you ever thought about the fact that we don't do God any favor by the sacrifices that we bring to Him? You still got your Bible? Look in Psalms 50. Psalms 50 says, The Lord says, I will not rebuke you for your sacrifices or your burnt offerings, which are continually before me. And then he says, verse 9, Psalms 50, verse 99, pardon me, I will not take a bull from your house nor goats of your folds, because every beast of the forest is mine. And I know all the birds of the heavens and the wild beasts of the fields are mine. If I were hungry, I would not tell you, for the world is mine and all of its fullness. You see how easy it was for the Jews to arrive at the conclusion that they were really doing the God of heaven a favor. You know, I mean, here I am, and I've got all of these animals, and I'm going to take the best of my flock, and I'm going to take the best that I have, and I'm going to bring it to God. But in the absence of righteousness and justice, and in the absence of hearts that were seeking after God, while they were drawing nigh to God with their lips, and they were involved externally in the sacrifices, the Lord says, I don't need anything you have. That's remarkable, isn't it? It's so easy for us to view ourselves as seeing us doing God a favor whenever we praise Him. That's the way the Jews were. In the absence of righteousness in their hearts, it was so easy for them to think that they were honoring God. The Pharisee that came into the temple and said, I fast twice in the week, and God, I give you 10% of everything that I have. And the Lord of heaven, paraphrase, could say, so what? It was mine before you ever gave it to me. What shall I bring to God? What shall I bring to God as my sacrifice to God? Look in Romans chapter 12 and verse 1. The mercies of God are mentioned by Paul in that chapter. Romans chapter 12 and verse 1. And based upon the fact that God is merciful, I beseech you by the mercies of God that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. Hello? Here's a dead animal that's laid on an altar commanded by God. Here's the fire that burns that animal, and that smoke ascends up into heaven. And the Lord says, that's not what I want. I'm not interested just in those external sacrifices. Well, what does He want? You see, it's easy for us to so externalize religion that we develop in Christianity the very same thing that the Jews of the first century had in Judaism. It's easy for us in this Christian age to externalize our relationship to God so much that we're just like the people in Amos' day. Is it possible that in Christianity that which we offer to God, if it's only in the external aspect of our devotion and our relationship to God, is it possible that what we offer to God, while it might be wonderful to us, heaven's view of what we bring before God may not be our earthly view of that very same thing? And so you've got this verse. Bring your sacrifices. What shall I bring, Lord? You bring your body. It's rather remarkable that in some of the sacrifices of the Old Testament, only part of the animals were sacrificed. But there were other sacrifices in which the entirety of the animal was sacrificed. And it is that view that is involved in Romans chapter 12 and verse 1, and that is that what we bring to God, we bring our bodies, living sacrifices. Now, if you bring your bodies, if you bring it all to offer it all to God, then you are involved in fulfilling the greatest commandment God ever gave. My heart, my soul, my strength, and my might. And so Romans chapter 12 says, what's God interested in? Not just the external manifestation of devotion to God. Let me see if I can illustrate in talking about the Lord's Supper. The Bible describes in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 of an individual who breaks the bread and who drinks the cup and allows in that same thing by implication a second man who eats that same bread and drinks that same cup. Obviously, the one in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 that's there by implication is the man who is doing it right. But specific in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 is a man who externally is doing exactly the same thing as the first individual. Both of them, stand and look at them, both of them are breaking the bread. Both of them are drinking the cup, and yet the Lord looks at that individual's worship and says, he's eating and drinking damnation to himself. What's wrong? The sacrifice he's bringing to God is only external. Jesus described the Pharisees of his days as all that they do it to be seen of men. Is prayer part of devotion to God? Yes. Is fasting a part of the devotion to God? Yes. And yet in Jesus describes those individuals who were pretentious in their devotion to God, long prayers, vain repetition, disfiguring their faces when they fasted, drawing nigh to me externally, but their heart is far from me. What's the point of this lesson? The point of this lesson is that the God of heaven could look down at that which we offer to him, and it could ascend to heaven as a sweet-smelling aroma, as the perfume of heaven. And the difference between the perfume of heaven, the sweet-smelling aroma that arises from our assemblies like this one tonight, the difference is whether it is simply external. I hate, I despise your communion. I hate, I despise your contributions. I hate, I despise your prayers. I hate, I despise your singing. I hate, I despise your preaching. Why, Lord? Because if it is only external, that which we may view as a solemn time of quietness and meditation, seemingly meditation about during the Lord's Supper, that which we may view as sacrificially giving of our monies to God, and that which we may view as honoring God by the words found in the Bible and the words that we listen so attentively to externally, and the prayers that so fervently, seemingly are offered to God, ascend to heaven. whether it's acceptable to God or not is determined by the heart from which it comes. I hate, I despise these acts of worship. Or there is joy in heaven when in a solemn assembly we come and draw nigh to God with our hearts. Far different from those who only draw nigh to God with their lips. We draw nigh to God with our hearts. And the Lord sits at this table and has communion with us. And the Lord, as He did in that first century, saw that contribution the poor widow was made, and there was joy in His heart, no doubt, as He saw the offerings you made. And He says, in the midst of the congregation, Jesus says, in the midst of the assembly, will I sing praise with my brethren. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 12. Where two or three are gathered together in my name, He's here. And whether our worship ascends to God as a stench in heaven or as a sweet-smelling aroma is determined by what's happening in our hearts. And that's the difference. It's rather odd, is it not, that the God of heaven could say in Amos's day, I despise the very thing I've asked you to do. But it's not so odd when you understand the reasoning behind it and come to a realization of the fact that the same thing could happen to us. My encouragement to every member of this church, everyone who's sitting here tonight, when we sing, don't sing to be heard, but sing to let your heart praise the God of heaven. And the melody that ascends into heaven needs not to be just the melody externally of the throat and the vocal cords, but a melody that comes out of the heart. And then when that kind of worship is a part of our assemblies, heaven is flavored and heaven is perfumed by our worship. God help us to view worship as heaven views our worship to Him. Bring your all. Bring your body, bring all of your body, heart and soul, and present it before God as a living sacrifice. We come to that part of our assembly where the invitation song is sung by the assembly to encourage people who are not yet Christians to become Christians, believing that Jesus is the Son of God, to decide, that's repentance, they're going to turn away from sin. That's the fruit of repentance, and give their lives to the Lord. And except you repent, you'll perish. And then because you've confessed that you believe Jesus is the Son of God, to be washed in the blood of Jesus, arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on His name. And then to be a part of that sacred assembly and join with that assembly of saints all over the world. I've thought oftentimes, Dan, of the sun arising over in the other side of that international dateline and how it must be viewed from heaven when those brethren who are hours ahead of us and days ahead of us start on Sunday morning while it's still Saturday here. And as the earth rotates, there's a continual praise that goes up to God hour after hour after hour, and you can be a part of that if you're a part of His family. If you're not a part of His family, or if you need the prayers of this church in your life in any way, how can we help you go to heaven Won't you let it be known by coming to the front right now as together we stand and sing. Will you?